Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of the Jolly Heretic. Now, there has been a great deal of discussion about the fail to say of Jason R. Day, and a lot of it has focused on the idea that this man was a pawn. This man was deliberately overpromoted by various universities. This man was put in a position of influence and thus subject to scrutiny, which he should not have been, and that it really isn't his fault. And I guess I have contributed to this myself by talking about the parentalization of Jason R. Day and that sort of thing. And there's a degree to which this is true, that two things can be true at once. It can both be the case that he has been a pawn, and indeed that he is highly mentally unstable, but that also he's just not a very nice person. And that indeed is the essence of narcissistic personality disorder. Those that have narcissistic personality disorder, which I suspect he had, are both very, very mentally unstable and reliant on their false self to regulate their emotions about themselves, and also quite selfish and unpleasant people. And that's what I want to look at today. I want to look at the fact that this man was a very selfish and unpleasant man. And indeed, that is something which will predict in the circumstances that he was in taking his own life. Before I do that, could you possibly do me a favor? Could you please, please, please subscribe? Could you subscribe on YouTube? Could you hit the like button, hit the bell button, leave a comment, share the video, all that stuff? It's very, very helpful for me if you do that. And also, could you subscribe on my Substack? That's jollyheretic.com, where I put all the most based stuff I did on YouTube, in-person interviews, vlogs, blogs, films I make, my new film about Moldova, all kinds of interesting stuff. And if you like what I do, you can support me at the cost of just a pint of beer a month. Okay, back to the video. So, as I said, he has, I think it's likely, narcissistic personality disorder, or possibly borderline personality disorder. Narcissistic personality disorder is where you have lots and lots and lots of negative feelings. So you feel that you're awful and that you're no good, essentially. And you deal with that by creating a narcissistic false self in which you are perfect and you are special. And so on the one hand, you are grandiose. You see yourself as special, you see yourself as superior, you will exaggerate your achievements, you will boast. And this is a way of dealing with your psychological problems. And so it's neuroticism. But on the other hand, you are highly entitled. You think you deserve special treatment. You think other people are scum, basically, and you're brilliant, you're exploitative, you're happy to exploit others and take advantage of them for your own gain. And this is a sign of low agreeableness. And those two things come together in narcissistic personality disorder: low agreeableness and low high neuroticism, and elements of low conscientiousness. So the idea that he's completely innocent is not the case. So let's actually look at his behavior in terms of selfishness, into low agreeableness, is that you are low in altruism, you don't care about other people, and that you are low in empathy, i.e., you don't really feel the feelings of other people. You don't really feel the feelings of other people. So, first of all, he pretended, and we know he pretended because school friends of his have chimed in to say so, that he couldn't speak until he was 11, almost 12, and then magically he could suddenly speak. And indeed, that at 18 he could learn to read and write. And we know this is not true, at the very least in relation to the idea that he couldn't speak until he was 11. This is not true. So this is a nasty thing to do, because it gives false hope to these poor parents that genuinely have a mute autistic child. And it's awful for them, and there's really nothing, there's no hope for them. And this gives them hope that if only they tried harder, if only they gave the child more speech therapy. Apparently, Ade had 6 hours of speech therapy a day, which seems most improbable. If only that happened, then the child will one day become almost normal and be able to learn to speak. And that's rubbish. So he gave these poor parents false hope, which is crushing for them. Secondly, intimidating journalists is a nasty thing to do. So when journalists come to you and ask legitimate questions about your research, and you set Carter Ruck, this infamous defamation lawyer, on them to shut them up and intimidate them, well, that's a very nasty thing to do, isn't it? And it's indicative of narcissistic rage, of the idea that your false perfect self is being questioned, and how dare you question me because I'm wonderful and amazing? How dare you? If a girl who normally is used to getting a high first gets a low first, okay, you can say that self a bit up yourself, but anyway, comes and questions her mark, and you respond to her that she has white privilege. That's a nasty thing to do, isn't it, to a young girl? A very nasty, unkind thing to do. And that girl commented that he showed both anger and fear, which makes sense in terms of a grandiose narcissist. Anger, because you questioned him and you've put him in a position where he doesn't feel he's perfect, how dare you? But fear, in that he perhaps feels that it's all going to be undone, and all of his lies and all of his mendacity is going to be revealed. This could be the thread that undoes everything. That he would just turn up at lectures, for which these young people are paying thousands and thousands of pounds, by the way, completely unprepared, with nothing to say, and just meander on about himself and his own feelings and whatever, such that they didn't really feel that they're paying, remember, over £9,000 a year, absurdly, to go to Cambridge or to go to whichever university it is. He'd turn up late, he'd leave early, and he'd just chat rubbish, not even preparing anything at all. Partly probably because he couldn't, because he wasn't very intelligent and just didn't have the ability to do anything. But secondly, there wasn't even the slightest effort. Yeah, you'll get people that will try and blag their way through things, that will be in that kind of situation, will do their best to blag their way through. He didn't even bother. He couldn't even be kind enough to do that. He just turned up late and talked rubbish. Next, the simple fact of lying. You could argue that lying at all about anything is a nasty thing to do, and indeed it is predicted by low agreeableness. That's what predicts lying, because you don't psychopathy predict one of the traits of psychopathy, which is related to narcissism, is just lying, because you're not a very nice person, and so you don't feel any guilt about getting ahead of other people who are honest through lying. If you lie in a context in which most people tell the truth, well, you're taking advantage of everybody. You're not playing the game. You don't care about other people's feelings. You don't care about what they have to go through. You just think you deserve it, and so you'll lie in order to get it. And that is a very nasty thing to do. So the fact that he told all these lies, on the one hand, you can argue it's a reflection deep down of neuroticism, which then manifests as a narcissistic personality. But an element of that is being low in agreeableness. An element of lying is low. An element of mythomania, where you compulsively lie, is partly, yes, you're insecure and you fear people abandoning you and things like this, and so you lie. But it's partly that you must have some moral sense that it's wrong to lie and you shouldn't lie to people, and that people feel humiliated if they realize they've been lied to. But if you're low in agreeableness, you don't care about that, and so you lie. And so all of these lies that he told are consistent with low agreeableness. Indeed, taking credit for the work of other people is itself a sign of low agreeableness, that you don't care about them, you don't care about their feelings, and so on. And then finally, let's look at the issue of committing suicide. What predicts committing suicide? Well, in terms of the big five personality traits, the first is obviously neuroticism. You feel negative feelings strongly, you feel stress very strongly, you feel anxiety very strongly, you feel despair very strongly. And so if something bad happens to you, you are overwhelmed by negative feelings and you can't conceive of a positive future. You can't. The future will be so awful that you won't be able to cope with it. You know you won't be able to cope with it. It will be terrible. It will be like being in hell. And so you kill yourself. That is the first predictor of it. But it's not only neuroticism. Low impulse control. Well, conscientiousness is associated with impulse control and problem solving. So a conscientious person in a difficult situation, such as in a scandal, will control their impulse to kill themselves. They may have an impulse to kill themselves, but they won't, because they have better impulse control, and they're better at problem solving and sort of reasoning in a kind of way, and so therefore they're more likely to think of a way to get out of it. Extroversion is associated with positive feelings and having lots of friends and seeking support, so those people tend to be less likely to kill themselves. But then agreeableness. If you're high in agreeableness, you will have very strong social bonds with people. You will think a great deal about them. You will think a great deal about their feelings. You will be concerned about how they feel. And so for this reason, an agreeable person plunged into a very, very, very difficult situation is much less likely to kill himself than a person who is low in agreeableness. The person who is low in agreeableness will just be overwhelmed, if they're also neurotic, will be overwhelmed by all these negative feelings and the despair and that nothing can ever get better. And they won't have necessarily all of the sort of friends and people that will be nice to them that will mean that they can get through it. And they won't have the agreeableness, the empathy with others to think, oh, well, think how devastating it will be for my children. Think how devastating it will be. No, all that such people will think in a situation like that is, I need admiration from the world in order, otherwise I'm nothing and I'm nobody. I don't have admiration from the world. I feel a great deal of shame, tremendous shame. The world knows that the world's seen the real me. The world's seen the real pathetic me. I can't cope with this shame. This shame is intolerable to me, and therefore I am going to end it. And an element of that as well can be what's, if they're low in agreeableness, can be what's called a spiteful suicide. And this is the idea that they think to themselves, I will get my own back on these people in death by humiliating them. I will make them feel terrible. I will make them feel awful. I will kind of, by killing myself, I will turn the tables and it will seem like they're the bad people because they drove me to do this. And remember, an element of this guy is vulnerable narcissism as well, like signaling his insecurities, signaling that he's had to struggle so much, that he's the world's biggest victim. This is vulnerable narcissism. He's done that as well. This makes me even more of a victim. I will be the super victim. And so in the end, I will triumph over my enemies. And then something is mine says, well, what about how your family will feel and whatever? Or what about how these people that are quite innocent, how they who have just found out that you discovered that you are a fraud? What if there's a huge reaction against them and people try to kill them, which is indeed happening? There is this huge, terrible reaction against Nathan Coffness. I didn't care about him. He's evil. He must be evil. He's put me in this situation and I'm perfect and wonderful and I deserve so much. So I don't care about that. What about the fact that you have two children? Think about how devastated they might be. I don't care about that. What I care about is my feelings and I feel wronged and I feel I can get them back by doing this. I'll show them and I'll be the world's biggest victim and therefore worshipped and praised in death. I'll win things back through death. It's a sort of maladaptive coping mechanism. And so that's what a low agreeable person would do. And that's what Jason Arday has done. So let's be clear on this. It's not just that he's a mentally unstable person. He's also just really not a very nice person. And being narcissistic, he's taken people in with this superficial charm and all of this sort of thing. But really, this is dark triad. This is elements of psychopathy. This is grandiose narcissism, which is that you are mentally unstable, but also that you're really not a very nice person. Thank you very much, and tally-ho, and goodbye.
Are you ready for the future of the West?